Hi, I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Chris Cooper, head of the Political Science Department at Western Carolina University. Chris, as always, thank you for coming in.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Matt.
So let's talk about a bit, just looking at the region in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. Where does it really fall in U.S. history and U.S. culture? A very broad question, and it's also a very broad region. We've been focusing on Southern Appalachia in particular, but where does really the region fall in the U.S. historically and culturally?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really interesting about the Appalachian region in general is that its borders are somewhat contested, right? So the ARC, the Appalachian Regional Commission, certainly has an official definition. You can find it if you look at Wikipedia or you go to some internet sites, you can find it. But at the same time, I think we all kind of believe that certain parts feel more Appalachian than other parts of the region do. And so we try to map that in different ways. I actually looked at businesses that use the name Appalachia or Appalachian in their title is one way to try to get it. Hey, where is the kind of the heart of Appalachia, if you will? And what we find is it tends to center around this kind of southern Appalachian region. At least that's when we tend to use the name the most, even though the ARC definition and the Appalachian Trail clearly spread, you know, almost all the way up the East Coast.
So looking at that, and looking at it linguistically, using Appalachia, Appalachian, mm-hmm. and pronouncing it that way too, because up in the north where I grew up mm-hmm. in Appalachian, it is not pronounced that way. And I won't say that how it's pronounced in the north because that really does grind a lot of people's gears when it's pronounced that way. So I won't say that. But just linguistically, what does the word represent? And in the studies you just said, looking at businesses that include Appalachian or Appalachian, Appalachia or Appalachian, what does that sort of represent?
You know, I think there's a kind of a big academic literature on this that says that it kind of has this kind of positive and negative connotations. People hold firm to it. They're proud of the region, but there is sometimes a little bit of this negative connotation that comes from it nationally. Certainly, we see that in, you know, TV shows that are kind of making fun of Appalachia, certainly make fun of the South, but in particular the Appalachian South. And so there's been a whole lot of academics and writing for a whole lot of years about Appalachians kind of standing up and back-talking in some ways to the larger narrative, which tends to portray the region as poor and not particularly intelligent and not particularly developed. And I think folks in this region would obviously beg to differ.
You mentioned, though, the combination is Southern Appalachia. Mm-hmm. There's the South, there's Appalachia. What does Southern Appalachia take from each sort of culture, from the South and from Appalachia?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think it identifies to – or. It highlights to me that we all have multiple identities, right? So we did a poll a few years ago where we just asked people in the 23 westernmost counties in North Carolina, hey, what do you tend to identify as far as region? Okay, do you identify as an American? Do you identify as a Southerner? Do you tend to identify as an Appalachian? What we found is that more folks tend to identify as Southerner than Appalachian, but not by a whole lot, and that most of the folks in this region that we surveyed, at least in western North Carolina, tend to identify as both, right? So the idea is you've got all of these different identities that kind of come in and make you who you are.
Outside, obviously, of just the mountains, what are really the differences mm-hmm. between Southern and Appalachian?
That's a good question. I think part of it is demographics. And so, obviously, Appalachia, Southern Appalachia, tends to be a little bit more of a demographically homogenous region. I obviously do not want to overplay that and clearly there is some healthy diversity in our region, but it does tend to be more homogenous than the South as a whole. We still have a lot of counties in the South that are majority minority, where African American population is over 50%. It's difficult to find those parts of Appalachia, and so I think the demographics is certainly not the destiny of the region and the regional differences, but it contributes to it.
And this kind of another very broad question, bit of a difficult one too, but how, when we use the term Appalachian, Appalachia, how white is that term, I guess is to say, because you're saying it is a mm-hmm. very homogenous mm-hmm. Region for the most part, by and large. So when we're saying Appalachian, are we really saying white in many ways?
Yeah, I don't think we should be. And I think there's been a really healthy movement really, here in Western North Carolina, with folks talking about Afro-Latchian culture and the way that Afro-Latchian culture is a part of and is sometimes slightly separate from Appalachian culture in general. So, look, the region has diversity. That diversity is important. And I don't think that when we say Appalachian, we should think white. I think that's just not true. At the same time, those demographic patterns have shaped things like politics, right? They've shaped the priorities that different people have about what they want from their government. And it has mattered, and I think will continue to matter.
So going into that, the Appalachian Regional Commission meets this week in Nashville, holds its summit. It's a government agency that goes back to came into being during John F. Kennedy's administration. So to look at it politically, how much has this region changed in its voting patterns since 1960 when JFK was elected president with the help of the state of West Virginia, which is sort of the center, geographically at least, of Appalachia and all the conversation and controversy over his victory in West Virginia in 1960. How much has that changed? How much of the voting patterns in Appalachia changed?
Yeah, I think they've changed throughout the South, certainly, and Southern Appalachia is a good example. West Virginia is this really interesting place, right? It kind of had a reputation as being Democratic for a long time. We had certainly figures like Byrd who were representing the state, kind of Democratic stronghold folks. And that's clearly shifted. If memory serves, West Virginia gave the second highest vote total to Trump in the last election. And I think part of that is obviously each party's stance on renewable energy, stance on coal. And I think also as labor has kind of faded a little bit from the political spotlight, I think those voting patterns have changed. We've known for a long time that Appalachia tends to look a little bit different. So when people tended to look at the South, for example, in the 40s and the 50s, they would say, hey, here are the generalities in the South, but most of the more mountainous regions that are more homogenous throughout the South tend to have different voting patterns. Western North Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, the Ozarks in Arkansas. So we tended to see that kind of throughout the region. And again, part of the reason is just the demographics.
How did that manifest itself? What were the voting patterns that we saw there? In those regions in particular?
Yeah, in those regions in particular, I mean, just taking Western North Carolina is our local example, the South was dominated by Democrats, right? It was a one-party South for over a century. The Democrats could do no wrong. Primaries were all that mattered. General elections didn't matter because the Republicans had no chance. And the exception to that rule was in places like Western North Carolina and East Tennessee, where race kind of worked differently because there wasn't such a large proportion of African Americans. And so people's racial attitudes were different. People's voting patterns were different. And this was, in some ways, kind of the center of Republicanism in the South for at least half a century.
Last question on this. How much did President Trump's victory in 2016, how much of that is due to Appalachia? You talked about West Virginia. He did very well in that state. Again, the geographic center. He won some other states that were contained within the region, like Pennsylvania and Ohio and North Carolina, states that we would consider battleground states. But I think there was a bit of a narrative afterwards of the effect that Appalachia had on President Trump's victory. And I think certainly the book Hillbilly Elegy that came out right after the election and really sort of took off in popularity also played into a bit of that narrative. So the question is, how much of that narrative is correct?
Yeah, I mean, did it matter? Of course. I mean, you know, every vote matters, and I think the region matters. But it didn't look radically different than 4 years before. In other words, if you just say, hey, let's just take, you know, the Republican Party vote share from 4 years before and the Republican Party vote share in 2016 when Trump ran, and you said, are these things pretty close together? Yeah, they are, right? The counties that were really Republican remain really Republican. And so the 2016 election, at least in my mind, had extraordinary consequences. Some folks like them, some folks don't. But the voting patterns really weren't significantly different. In North Carolina, our kind of our rural counties and our counties in Appalachia for the most part did have increased turnout and increased vote share for the Republican candidate. But the suburbs saw very, very similar trends. And so I think sometimes, certainly this Hillbilly Elegy narrative forgets that, you know, there's a lot of folks living in the suburbs that voted for their own reasons for President Trump. And that was at least as important in figuring out that he became the next president of the United States as these Appalachian voting patterns.